Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. A busy news day today, all things that are just breaking, it seems, at the same time. But this is hardly that brand new, because in the arrest affidavits and in the bail affidavits, we've heard of Paul Grice, who was the fifth person named in this capital murder case. However, Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation did bring him in, and they released him. They released him, and it was thought that perhaps they didn't have probable cause. But in the time since they released him, and now, they must have developed enough probable cause that he has been brought in and he has been charged with capital murder. Let's see what the local TV people are saying about this, because it was expected. It absolutely was expected.
Two Kansas mothers. We want to get to KOCO's Jason Berger in our newsroom. Jason, you've been following this story, so break down what happened in the Oklahoma Panhandle today.
Yeah, guys, we just got these new details from OSBI. A man by the name of Paul Grice was taken into custody. He faces charges for first-degree murder. Here's the latest. Grice is now the fifth suspect arrested in connection to the deaths of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. OSBI says 31-year-old Grice was arrested and booked into the Texas County Jail on two counts of first-degree murder, two counts of kidnapping, and one count of conspiracy to commit murder in the first degree. Both Butler and Kelly went missing on March 30th and were found dead in rural Texas County on April 14th. Court documents say Grice, along with four other suspects already in custody, were part of a group called God's Misfits, and they were allegedly part of the effort to kill Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. Now, we're working to get more details on his arrest as this investigation unfolds in Texas County. From our newsroom, Jason Berger, KOCO 5 News.
So even the news people have on the ground, people on the ground, news people have very little information right now. So we're waiting to hear more and more of this, but we're not getting a lot of information. But his name was mentioned. In fact, I'm going to play earlier on. They had Banfield, and this was days ago. Banfield was on, and she spoke about Paul Grice. So let's play a little bit of this, and it'll give us a shine a little bit of light on this. Okay.
By the teenage daughter of the Twombleys who were arrested and charged with the murder. She says that Paul Grice was present for the planning. Paul Grice was allegedly there for the killings. But Paul Grice is nowhere to be seen and hasn't been arrested. Did that neighbor know him or know anything about him?
He does. He knows him, and he knows him well. He is actually Paul Grice's landlord. He's his landlord, Ashley, and he was his employer at one time. So he knows him well. We heard from several sources, and this is new, that Paul Grice was called in. He was actually put into custody at one point and questioned by the police, and then he was released. Why exactly he was released, we don't know. Apparently, they didn't have the evidence to keep him. And talking to that neighbor again and his landlord, he says that Paul Grice is a nice man, and he thinks the people need to hold off on judgment right now. Listen to what he said about that.
Did you know Paul Grice?
Yeah, I know of him, and he has a young family, very nice guy. He's the kind of guy to come up, shake your hand, tell you hi, and anytime I've been around him, he's just been out cleaning and working hard and taking care of cattle. And he seems to be a good guy. My understanding is that he was taken in question, and apparently the OSBI and FBI didn't think it warranted arresting him. So I guess he's not in custody, so I have no reason to believe they had anything to do with it.
Yeah, a lot of people are questioning it just because he's named in the reports and wondering why he's the one who wasn't arrested.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell you. I know he's a good man from what I know of him.
And again, we've learned from several sources, and this is new, that Paul Grice was taken into custody and questioned and then released. So apparently whatever the daughter of one of the suspects said about him being involved, they just weren't able to find the evidence of at this point. So he is out. He's in the community right now. And a lot of people are standing by him, Ashley.
Wow. Well, listen, you can be in conversations about something, but in order to be a conspirator, you have to act in furtherance. And maybe that's when he, if the teenager's telling the truth in the affidavits, maybe that's when he said, you know what, I'm out of here. And the reports got back to her differently, but maybe he's got an alibi. Who knows? Quick question about the next actions in this case. When are all four back in court? What do we see next?
Okay, so May 15th, 9 a.m., they're going to be back in court. They are all in the process of getting new lawyers. Tiffany Adams, Tad Cullum, Cole Twombly say they are all going to get private attorneys. Cora Twombly was the only one at the hearing who said she was going to want a public defender, which is kind of interesting considering Cole Twombly is getting a private attorney. But again, let's not forget, some of these folks have a lot of money, especially Tiffany Adams and Tad Cullum. They've got the resources to pretty much get whatever lawyer they want. From what we're told, they own thousands of acres of land. Tad Cullum in particular, Ashley, I'm hearing over and over again, is particularly wealthy. So it's going to be interesting to see what legal teams show up because they didn't have lawyers at the first hearing. And so who's going to be the lawyer come May 15th? That's going to be really interesting because they've got the money.
Yeah. And whether their defense is going to be he did it, she did it, she did it, he did it. That's always fascinating.
Yes. Are they going to turn on each other? Yeah, that's such a good point.
Right,
yeah.
Right. That's usually what happens in these cases. So so much to look at. Thank you, Brian. Such
everything has been breaking so quickly. All right. This afternoon or this morning, I did a show on this topic, not about Paul Grice, but about the, I call her Granny Tiffany Adams, about her confession. What did she say in her confession? And did the police do a good job? And how did they record her confession? Was it recorded by a videotape? Was it recorded just audio? And all the things that a professional investigator would do to get the confession of Grandma Tiffany Adams and this guy, Paul Grice. So everyone wants to know, okay, why did they let him go? And this brings us back to the 16-year-old witness who is the daughter of the biological daughter of Cora Twombly. And she happens to be the stepdaughter of Cole Twombly. She is the star witness here. And she right away, she named Paul Grice. And I'm going to put something up on the screen and you'll see how very early in this investigation, she named him. And here it is on the screen. It's a little small. I'll increase the size. If you look at the small little paragraph that begins with CW, it says, CW described Cora, Cole, Adams, Cullum, Paul Grice as being part of an anti-government group that had a religious affiliation. Through an OSBI investigation, it was learned that they call the group God's Misfits. Regular meetings are held at Twombly's in the house of Barrett and Lacey Cook. And these are some of the things that the 16-year-old daughter, who she's only, let me just make that a little small. She's only referred to as the CW because she's underage, but she happens to be the superstar witness. The complainant witness told on March 29, 2024, that Cora and Cole would not be home in the morning when she woke and were going to be on a mission. When the complainant witness awoke at approximately 1000 hours, Cora and Cole were not home, but came home around 1200 hours. Complainant witness knew that Cole and Cora took a blue and gray Chevrolet pickup owned by them and a blue flatbed pickup owned by Clint Twombly when they left and returned to the same vehicles. The complainant witness was told to clean the interior of the Chevrolet pickup. The complainant witness asked Carl what had happened and was told that things did not go as planned, but that they would not have to worry about her butler again. Complainant witness was told that Cora and Cole blocked the road to stop Butler and Kelly and divert them to where Adams, Cullum, and Grice were. There's Grice's name again. So here's part of the conspiracy. And for some of you that are asking, he's being charged with murder in the first degree. Conspiracy, kidnapping, all the charges that everyone else. So let me read that again. Complainant witness asked Cora what happened and was told that things did not go as planned, but that they would not have to worry about her butler again. The complainant witness was told that Cora and Cole blocked the road to stop Butler and Kelly and divert them to where Adams, Cullum, and Grice were. There's Grice's name again. So we may ask, well, then why wasn't he arrested before? Perhaps the OSBI and the FBI didn't think they had sufficient probable cause. And this also leads me to believe that the co-defendants are ratting on each other. They're talking and they're telling on each other. Absolutely, I think that Tiffany, we know Tiffany Adams, she confessed. What she confessed to, we don't specifically know what she confessed to. But this could put Paul Grice in the mix with everyone else. So the complainant witness asked Cora what had happened and was told that things did not go as planned, but that they would not have to worry about her butler again. Complainant was told that Cora and Cole blocked the road to stop Butler and Kelly and divert them to where Adams, Cullum, and Grice were. There it is. Complainant witness asked about Kelly and why she had to die and was told by Cora that she wasn't innocent either, as she had supported Butler. Complainant witness asked Cora if their bodies were put in a well, and Cora replied, something like that. Complainant witness also disclosed that other attempts to kill Butler occurred during February 2024 near Yucatan, Kansas, in which Adams, Cullum, Cole, Cora, and Grice, there's his name again, went to Yucatan, but Butler did not leave her residence. This is consistent with the web search discovered on Adams' phone about how to get someone out of their house. According to Cora, the plan was to throw an anvil through Butler's windshield while driving, making it look like an accident because anvils regularly fall off work vehicles. That part of this whole case is amazing to me, you know, that they were going to throw an anvil through her windshield. While in Carrick, Texas, interviewing Quillen witness and her brother, Cora and Cole arrived and tried to get access to the complainant witness and her brother. Cora was verbally aggressive and was very upset with your affiant that she was not granted access to complainant witness and her brother. Cole exited the vehicle armed with a handgun and a holster on his belt. OSBI investigation showed that Adams searched for gun shops on her cellular phone. A search of local gun shops showed Adams buying, here we have the evidence we're talking about, 5 stun guns at the Big R store in Guymon, Oklahoma. The purchase was made on March 23rd, 2024. OSBI investigation showed that Adams purchased 3 prepaid cellular phones from Walmart in Guymon, Oklahoma on February 13th, 2024. The phones were identified by phone numbers 620-417-5752, 086390-9141, and 086390-9085. Search warrants for information related to location services and phone usage were completed for each device. It was learned that all 3 phones were at the area where Butler's car was located and the last known location of Butler and Kelly at the time of their disappearance. All 3 phones were powered on and accessed the cellular network for the first time at or near Cullum's residence at different times prior to March 30th, 2024. On March 30th, 2024, phone numbers 806-390-9141 and 806-390-9085, before Butler and Kelly's disappearance, were at the Twombly's residence prior to going to or near Cullum's residence. Butler and Kelly's disappearance at 10:05 and 10:16 hours, phone numbers 806-390-9085 and 620-417-5752 were in the area at or near Cullum's residence. This is like unbelievable evidence. And now, of course, what we're learning is that Grice is in the mix now. He's going to be charged with murder in the first degree, two counts of kidnapping in the first degree, and two counts of conspiracy to commit murder. Every single person that's involved in this case is eligible for the death penalty. And what we spoke about earlier is that who is the weak link here? Who's going to flip? Who's going to make a deal? Who's going to cut a deal to get their ass out of the death penalty? Is that what the prosecution is going to do? Because right now there's five. Well, they don't have really the choice of five, because if Grandma Tiffany Adams, if she admittedly did the murders, physically did the murders, what in whichever way the cause of death is, and which we don't know yet, we don't know, was it blunt trauma based on the fact that there was a hammer at the scene next to the glasses of Veronica Butler? Do we know? Or was it gunshot wounds? We don't know yet the cause of death. Of course, we know the manner of of death is homicide. It's murder, right? Sunneth, the Galactic Ninja Dog. What a name. Just joined. Look at this. Was wondering when PG would be brought in. And of course, you're referring to Paul Grice. Everyone was wondering, how come he skated? How come he walked away? But one of the things we're learning in regards to this case is that law enforcement's done an unbelievable job. So why should they make a mistake with Paul Grice? Let's wait. Let's wait till we have probable cause, till we bring his ass in. We don't want to bring him in without probable cause, because that's an illegal arrest. That's an unlawful arrest. So let's wait till we have the goods, right? Trish Norman, the fifth person is Paul Grice, who's been named in the affidavit, who's been named in these reports, and we were just reading him how he is connected. Renee Rosencrant, the daughter is safe, protective custody. The Thoris, well, is it ever addressed why the woman that was supposed to oversee the visit was called and told to take a week off? She'd have known that something was not right with the grandmother calling her. The Thoris, all we can do is conjecture about that. And the conjecture is that that woman was the escort that was favored by Tiffany Adams. So she knew that whoever was escorting Veronica, she was going to have to kill. So she didn't want to kill her escort, did she? She wanted to kill whoever was accompanying Veronica. That was the escort of her choice. And it's really so horrific that Jillian Kelly was just sort of, what do they call that, collateral damage? Elaine Congo, it's sad these grown folks took these two women's lives, and they took their lives also, causing their going to jail. Crazy. 100% Elaine, it is nuts. Pessa, all the children connected to this case of victims' trauma at that age affects how the brain will develop. Joan O. Harper, Simi, even if Cora turns state witness, she will still serve considerable time, just a lot less if they help the state. Renee Rosencrant from the chat, I believe that Kelly, they did fast, but I believe they made Veronica suffer. That's horrible. We don't know specifically. I haven't really picked or no one's told me, hasn't come out, the cause of death. That's what we're wondering. Lori Stout, was Granny a specialist in hypnotism? How did she mind warp everyone? Lori Stout, you know something? We don't know how Granny got these people to do what she wanted them to do. Isn't that crazy? So four other people besides Tiffany Adams destroyed their lives in committing a murder in the first degree and a kidnapping in the first degree. Dolphin Lover 815, as much as I don't like JLR Investigate, she posted a video on 416 that mentioned Grice, and there's also a sixth person named in that video that we may see arrested too since Grice was arrested. Dolphin Lover 815, that, you know, may be so, but one of the things that I do, I don't report anything until it's confirmed. I'm not boots on the ground. I can't interview people on the ground if people call me or people want to give me, but you still, until it's verified, there's a lot of people that just report anything. It could be rumor, could be conjecture. And so many times in doing this, I've been doing this for about 4 years, 5 years, about 4 years, a little 4 years. But I was also an NYPD homicide sergeant and on the NYPD for 27 years. So I know how this stuff works. And you just don't throw shit at the wall hoping it sticks. You know what I mean? You have to have some credibility. And if you continuously just throw stuff out there that's not true, you lose your credibility. You know, Phoebe, granny manipulated those around her 100%. I want to put back the affidavit here. This is the last paragraph. After Butler and Kelly's disappearance on March 30th, 2024, between 10:16 and 10:35, it was determined that phone numbers 620-417-5752 and 806-390-9085 were at the property owned by Jamie Beasley, below a dam in the pasture where fresh dirt work was located by your affiant. Concrete was moved from a location near Beasley's residence approximately 150 to 200 yards below the dam, where it was discovered that a hole had been dug and filled back and then covered with hay. The location where Butler and Kelly disappeared from and where Butler's vehicle was located is approximately 8.5 miles away from the location below the dam on Beasley's property, giving drive time from the location of where Butler's vehicle was located to Beasley's property, well within the 34 minutes between the time of Butler Kelly's phone stopping transmission and prepaid phone numbers 620-417-5752 and 806-390-9085 arriving at the dam on Beasley's property. All prepaid phones stopped transmitting on the morning of March 30th, 2024 at locations near Twombly's residence and Beasley's property. So on this day, the 12th day of April 2024, the above styled and numbered case came on for hearing before this judge, and these were the charges: murder in the first degree, two counts of kidnapping in the first degree, and conspiracy to commit murder. So all of these things are just an incredible thing. And now, as we know, if you're tuning in late, that they have added Paul Grice to this mix. He's part of this. He's now part of this. And, you know, we were all waiting for it. We were all saying, when is Paul Grice going to get arrested? There's his picture up on the screen. According to My Northwest, Oklahoma prosecutors charged a fifth member of an anti-government group on Wednesday with killing and kidnapping two Kansas women. Paul Jeremiah Grice was charged in Texas County with two counts of first-degree murder, two counts of kidnapping and conspiracy to commit murder. Grice told an Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation agent that he participated in the killing and the burial of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly of Yucatan, Kansas, according to an arrest affidavit filed in the case. Grice is being held without bond at the Texas County Detention Center in Goyman, a jail official said. Court and jail records don't indicate if Grice has an attorney who could speak on his behalf. We know the four others are charged: Tiffany Adams, Tad Cullum, Cole, and Cora Twombly. As we know, Butler and Kelly disappeared March 30th while driving to pick up Butler's two children for a birthday party. Adams, who was the children's grandmother, was in a bitter custody dispute with Butler, was only allowed supervised visits with the children on Saturdays. Kelly was authorized to supervise the visits, according to the affidavits. A witness who spoke to Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation agents said all five suspects were part of an anti-government group that had a religious affiliation, according to the affidavit. Investigators learned the group called themselves God's Misfits and held regular meetings at the home of the Twombleys and another couple. Now, I wonder, does God's Misfits have anything to do with the murders of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly? It was just was what how these people knew each other. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Bella Rose, I don't care who they hire for lawyers. They sunk their ship. Be More, big day today. Stephon Stearns was also charged with first-degree murder of Madeline Soto. Florida is a death penalty state. Yes, I heard that today. And Stephon Stearns, apparently, the coward he is, didn't show up at court. Another, as you said, another death penalty case. I live here and know Tiffany Tadden called it with tight-knit. You know, this is a tight-knit, I would imagine, a small community that everyone knows each other. Julia Ann, hi, Sergeant Bill, and everyone, better late than never. DeVille, Kentucky. Ramblin' Rome, been here with you since you started this channel. Oh, Ramblin' Rome, well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me. Granny allegedly confesses if she was the mastermind, will her confession mean much? Flyerby, I did a whole show on that today, and I think the confession means a hell of a lot because the interviewers, the interrogators, they would get her to admit all of the things they have in the arrest affidavit, all the things they have in the bond affidavit. And if they did that, and this was videotaped, then this is basically Granny has doomed everyone, not just herself. She told how they did it, which is premeditated. It's conspiracy. Conspiracy to commit murder. She spoke about the kidnapping. So yes, don't believe these defense attorneys. Confessions mean a lot. They mean a hell of a lot. Sheila, well, Granny did say that thing about Veronica's brother. Not sure it's true, but some people do the unthinkable if believing children are harmed. My opinion, Sheila, you know, that's not the SA that was alleged in this case by Tiffany Adams. It was never confirmed. That could have been something she invented, or it could be true, but it could be something she invented in order to try to get custody of the children. And we don't know if it is true or not. Kirsten Kolb, sleepless in Germany. I'm sorry you're sleepless. Connie, Sergeant Bill, thanks, and hello from SEMO. I don't know how to pronounce a lot of these areas I've never been to. Laura Taylor, if my friend said, let's kill my daughter-in-law, I would call the cops. You're right, Laura. This was more than just asking. This was conspiring. This was people somehow that may have been controlled by Tiffany Adams. We'll find that out as the case proceeds. Phoebe, now we have to question how much did Beasley really know? One doesn't have to be a rocket scientist to piece together the story. He was spun by Tad Cullum. You know, Phoebe, again, there could be more people that are going to be arrested in this. Folks, if you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, then you're in the right place. And if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, ring that bell, hit the like button, share us with your friends and your family. And if you want to contribute to us, we have a Patreon with three different levels. We also have a YouTube channel membership with, count them, five different levels. And you can support the Police Off the Cuff family, the Police Off the Cuff podcast, by contributing to that. So how is this guy related that was arrested today? Bella Rose, all we know his relationship to this group is that he's one of God's Misfits. He's one of part of that group, God's Misfits, which we don't know. Julia Ann, no, Beasley is not number five. Number five is Paul Grice. Beasley has yet to be connected in a criminal way. B. Beasley owned the land that the bodies were buried on that he leased to Tad Cullum. That's the only involvement that we know so far of Beasley. That's the only relationship. Roxy, they left the mom's car on the side of the road with all kinds of evidence. Yes, that was probably their biggest mistake, leaving that car there. Kathy, their world is exploding on itself. Yes, yes. People that don't, maybe aren't criminal minded, they don't think about getting away with it and they do stupid things. Renee Rosenkrant, Beasley didn't know anything. His family is tore up and broken over this. You know something, though, Renee Rosenkrant? We heard the same thing about Paul Grice, but what a good guy he was. He had nothing to do with this. And what did we just learn today? Well, Paul Grice is under arrest, being charged with 2 counts of murder first degree, 2 counts of kidnapping first degree, and he's in the trick bag, as they say, right? Andre Bailey. Yeah, but why they interviewed him and said, well, we're going to let him go. Andre, I explained that a couple of times, that perhaps when they made the arrest of the other four, they didn't have enough. They didn't have probable cause. To arrest someone without probable cause is against the law. That's an illegal arrest. And as we know, as I've said a million times, probable cause are facts and circumstances that would allow a reasonable person to believe that a crime was committed and the person being arrested committed the crime. So if they didn't have all of those facts and circumstances, perhaps they didn't have enough to arrest Paul Grice. So they let him go and put him on ice for another day. Where is he now? He is he's under arrest. Peggy Willis, the fifth person was in the report from... Yes, Peggy, I went over that. He was in the report, but maybe with the investigation being done by Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, they had to verify some of the information. Look, the number one, the witness in this case is the daughter of Cole and Cora Twombly. So she's the star witness. So she said from early on that Paul Grice was involved. But for some reason, the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation didn't think they had enough to proceed. Now they do. Now they have enough. He's under arrest. And for those that haven't seen Paul Grice, that's a picture of him right there in his thumbnail. And he joins the other four. He joins Tad, Bert Cullum, Tiffany, Michelle Adams, Cole Earl Twombly, and Cora Twombly in being charged with murder in the first degree, death penalty eligible. And this is unbelievable when you think of it, right? And is this investigation over? By no means is it over. Buddha Belly, what a waste. 5 grown adults tossing out their own lives over child custody of children not even theirs. Not that that would matter. 5 grown fools. Buddha Belly, you're 100% right. And from the chat, there should be laws that make them show up in court, in my opinion. Kathleen Whitley, the leader of the group, God's Misfits, said he is not anti-government and that these people are not part of his group. Yeah, Kathleen, I saw some of that. That's why I'm wondering if the group God's Misfits really has anything to do with this other than it put these people together. Lori Stout, they apparently had meetings at Granny's house. I'm sure they're checking into this. Renee Rosenkrant, at Tad's firm, he was leasing the land. I drove by it Sunday. Very sad. Yeah. This whole thing is sad, you know. Sherry Murray, I also think, Sergeant, they all buried these poor females while they were still alive. Such a tragedy. I hope not. I don't know how you know that, but I hope not. Tess Kira liked her. Flyer B, I don't think Jamie B should be arrested. Yes, it was his property where the victims were buried, but he wasn't involved or knew a grave was being dug. You know, Flyer B, we don't know all the ins and outs of this investigation. And if he just leased the land to Tad Cullum and knew nothing about it, then he won't be arrested. But we don't know the intricate goings on. A lot of the way they put cases like this together is the communication through the cell phones, the text messages, the burner phones. And now, not only do they have that evidence, but they have a witness that knows all about this stuff, that overheard Cole Twombly and Cora Twombly talking about it, conspiring about it. Premeditation, it's called, right? Premeditation, and that's what we have. Incredible, right? But that's what we have in this case. So it's unbelievable. NEL, is it conceivable that all five could be put to death if all found guilty? Annie L., thank you so much for the $10 super sticker. Annie, you know something? That is a possibility that they could be. Will they be? Well, I think there's a possibility that the least culpable person may be offered a deal by the prosecutor. And may. Although the prosecutor could have such a solid, solid case that he or she may go forward with the murder first degree. And the prosecutor doesn't have to go for the death penalty. The prosecutor can. The prosecutor can also go for life without parole. One of the things about a death penalty case is also when they pick jurors, the jurors have to be death penalty friendly. What does that mean? Well, if you're questioned by the prosecution and the defense and they ask you, would you be able to find someone guilty in a death penalty case? If you say no, they're not going to use you then. You have to be pro-death penalty. So will they go for the death penalty in this case? We don't know. American Nana, if he's arrested, they know something we don't. Absolutely, absolutely. Mister, not Paul's brother running for sheriff, Cole's cousin. Elena Gonzalez, thank you, Bill, for the update. You're always informative. Elena, thank you so much. You're very kind. Lori Stout, the old saying, to be a fly on the wall. Yes, that's so true. To be a fly on, although you may not want to know everything, you know, you might not want to know. Be more, the complainant witness knows all. Dolphin Lover 815, I pray that the Twombly daughter is under heavy guard. I trust nobody. Dolphin Lover 815, you're 100% right. Judy Jose, I blame that child custody judge when that grandmother stood up there in court and yelled, heads will roll if she hands those kids back to the mother, is when that judge should remove those children. Wow. I'm sure things go on in family court every single day that would make our stomachs turn, you know. Kathleen Whitley, what do you think about Twombly's son? Kathleen, I don't want to get into that now because it sort of derails me off of this case. That's a whole other matter that perhaps we could talk about another time. But I don't want to discuss that now because this is enough information here to really keep us occupied with this case. Debbie McCarthy from the chat, that poor 16-year-old has to live with this as does everyone else. I just hope she's safe. Yeah, I do too. Sheila, which one didn't get a private lawyer? Well, allegedly, Cora Twombly is not getting a private lawyer, but her husband is. So does that make that much sense? I don't know. Who's got all the money, right? Phoebe, pick me, I believe in capital punishment. Sergeant Bill, do you know if that is a busy road where the car was left when the woman were abducted? What would this be of a dash cam capturing the killers? The Thoris, I don't know. And a dash cam could capture the killers, but I don't know if it did in this case. There's so much evidence in this case. Roxy, if the complainant witness is under protective custody, will they change her name for future? They may have to get her out of town for sure. DG, I had heard that too. I wonder if she was really in court when she said that. I would hope that she would have been arrested if she was. Judy Hosey, I believe that, I think that the child custody judge was in cahoots with Tiffany from the beginning. She okayed Wrangler's second marriage while being child custody judge for those kids. Mama Bear, 100% that judge gave those children to grandma. She is to blame. Well, you know, we could make, you could make this case go in a million different directions, or just concentrate on the facts and what we know today. And someone asked the question, Exeter Line 1930. I wonder if Bruin was a misfit, or was she independent and appointed by the court? I believe she was appointed by the court, but I think that Tiffany took a liking to her and wanted her to be the person that supervised the visits. Lathoris, thank you, Sergeant Bill. Carol Grayson, thank you. I want to thank Carol Grayson. She's a great moderator. She's also a huge supporter of the Police Off the Cuff podcast. Thank you, Carol. That's a picture of her up on the screen. Elena Gonzalez, I love your mods, Bill. Always with you all the time. Well, thank you. Debbie McCarthy, so many lives have been ruined because Granny needed control. Cheryl F., thanks, Sergeant Bill, for covering this sad case. K-Pick, can't blame a judge for making a ruling based on the evidence of thing or she knew at the time. I'm pretty positive a judge wouldn't, in good conscience, think anything like this would transpire. Kathleen Whitney, does the grandmother's son have any opinion on this? Did he have knowledge that this was going to happen? He sort of had a antagonistic relationship with his mother, so we'll have to hear from him in the future. Brenda Jean Finley, my mind is boggled at the thought of, I'm assuming, 5 trials equals 12 times plus alternates, unbiased, and possibly death penalty friendly. Well, I don't know if they'll sever all the trials or they'll try them all together. That's a possibility too. We'll have to see. We'll have to wait, you know. Michelle Noir, perhaps the mannequin is completely irrelevant, nothing to do with anything. Lori Stout, since the accused of plenty of money, it'll be interesting to see what kind of representation that come out of the woodwork. Well, you know, we will have to see. But Gene Hallett, hello from New Hampshire. I just found your channel today. It's cool, calm, and collected. Well, that's nice to know. Andy the Gabby Cabby, I haven't seen you in a long time. From London, from the streets of London. Andy the Gabby Cabby, good to see you, Andy. Another former, a fellow podcaster, I should say, Andy the Gabby Cabby. Great to see you. Kim Princess, where'd you go? It just moved up. Here we go. I didn't even know they would be tried all together. No, that's a possibility. And I'm saying they could sever the trials and do them all separately, but they also could try them together since they're co-conspirators. They all committed the same crime together. They're all being charged with acting in concert. So there is definitely a potential that it could be one trial. Sherry Murray, it's always a pleasure, Sarge, to hear from you. You make sense of everything, even when the situation doesn't make sense. You take us through it step by step. Sherry Murray, thank you so much. That's very kind. Phoebe, wow, just found this. According to court documents, Grice has admitted to all of it. He was in possession of one of the burner phones. Woof. I wasn't able to get those documents before I rushed on the air today to give you this update. Be more, Sergeant Bill, you're tough on crime, but there's a softy underneath. Well, what's the old expression? Speak softly, but carry a big stick. Isn't that what a president, I forget it, was it FDR said that? Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Andy, the Gabby Cabby, so good to see you, buddy. Barbara Miller, nobody knows the facts of the custody of your mom left the jurisdiction, Oklahoma, That's all it could take. Kirsten Kolb, chapeau to the 16-year-old who knew what is right, what is wrong. What a courage to do this. 100%, definitely. Crafty Lady, police off the cuff, just found your channel last week. Love it. Thank you for your service. My dad was law enforcement for 35 years. Well, bless your dad, and I honor his service. Jono Harper, hi, police off the cuff. What measures will law enforcement take to officially protect complainant witness, the 16-year-old witness? Thanks for a fantastic live stream. Jono, if they need be, they'll put her in protective custody. They'll put her in witness protection. She may need to be in that, you know, and that's a possibility. Kami, thank you. Member for 15 months of Low Bill and Police Off the Cuff. Kami, thank you for your support of the Police Off the Cuff channel. It's very much appreciated. And we appreciate all of our friends, our fans, our subs. People used to object when I would call you fans, but I think that's what people are. Fans, our friends, our subs, and we appreciate you guys. Judy Hosey, Wrangler had a criminal felony against him and he was caught with a firearm due to be released in 2026. And Wrangler, of course, is the father of the children involved in his custody battle in which Veronica Butler was one of the people killed. She was the mother of the children. Julianne, thank you, Sergeant Bill, for all children and families. Phoebe, I call all my subscribers fans. Well, that's good. That's great. I think it's a good thing. Some people can get upset about anything, but that's no reason to get upset about that, you know. The Thoris, Sergeant Bill, have you ever arrested more than four people on one custody murder case? I'm trying to think. I don't think so. That's rare. That's rare. There would have to be a big conspiracy like there is here. Five under arrest for this. Just unbelievable. DG, that's going to be tough for complaining with stuff to testify in front of them, especially her mother. She needs to know how brave she is and be protected. Art Lover, Bill, I think a lot more is going to be revealed about God's misfits. I agree with you. New York, New York, start spreading the news. I'm leaving today, right? New York, New York. For some reason, I got hit with some allergies today. You can hear it in my voice. I don't know what allergies are running now, but I just got hit with it. I'm the mom, that's why. This guy's credibility has dropped now. Who are you referring to, the mom, that's why? Are you referring to who? Claire Marcassano, where are the children now? I believe they're with a trusted relative. Debbie McCarthy, some of the best and toughest cops come out of New York, proud to be a New Yorker. Debbie McCarthy, that's actually my mother's maiden name, McCarthy. Isn't that unbelievable? Yeah. Kim Princess, Queens, New York here. Guys, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Basically, almost no notice. I saw this. I said, I got to go on again. I got to update the case. I did an earlier story on Tiffany and her confession. And when this breaking news occurred, I said, you know, I have to go back on and update this. And I'm glad so many of you guys came on. Julianne, there are family massacre cases nationwide. Isn't it sad? You know, sometimes when we cover this, sometimes when we watch this, you know, true crime can be upsetting, right? Carol Grayston, welcome to all the new faces. It's great to see you. Please press the thumbs up button. It's always free to subscribe. Linda Hanley, why would they need five people to kill two innocent mom over a custody battle? Linda Hanley, good question. You know, all we know is at least five people destroyed their lives. Maybe they thought they could get away with it, you know? Maybe they thought they could get away with it, but obviously they can't. So, folks, I want to thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. That's really going to be our show. I think I updated it. It seems like it went so quick. It went really fast, the update. But this is Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great rest of your day, night, whatever it is. And God bless, and we'll see you soon. One episode, just ain't enough.